I am legitimately arrested by just the overflowing love that I've received throughout this week, throughout these past 2 years of being here, but specifically even just for today, just the text messages, the calls, the prayers. I am overwhelmed with just the love that you guys have shared. And I'm so grateful, so grateful for each and every one of you. There's some of you that may think you haven't met me in person, you've heard of me and stuff. I don't get to spend a lot of time in the lobbies, but just so that you know, I know you. And how do I know you? Because I know your kids. And your kids are the unedited version of you. They are, indeed. They really are. So thank you again. I just want to thank the worship team, the production team, lead pastors, just for the opportunity to share. This morning, I am literally overwhelmed with what God has. So I am going to just share from my heart, and hopefully we can continue in this space, in this atmosphere of worship. So let's pray together, and we'll dive right in. So Father God, I thank you for your goodness, for your kindness, for your undeserved favor, for what you are continuing to do in each and every one of our hearts. God, thank you that you sent your son Jesus to live, die, and rise again so that we can be in right relationship with you. Lord, we love you and we are so grateful for what you have for us today. So God, we surrender to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to do what only you can do in this place. And we give you all of the honor and all of the glory and all of the praise. And everybody said? Amen. Amen. Okay, so what I would like for us to do is I would love for us to travel back in time, pre-COVID, way back to August 4th, 2016. Night before Sebastian, our oldest, is going to go to school for the first time. We're gonna put that photo up here. And what I want you to see, I know, isn't he so cute? He's like, I hate you right now. He's right here in the front. But all summer long, we were praying, Ashley and I, for him. We've spent the past 5 years of his life investing, pouring into him, loving on him, and just praying and asking God that he would give us a word that we could send him off with, that he could feel like he was set solid, and he knew as he stepped into a new space, God, that he was loved. So that night before we sent him off, I shared these words with him. I was able to pull it up in my notes app, and I said this to him: Sebastian, I prayed to God to share a verse with me for you, something that you could hold deep in your heart and store up. Almost every night since you've been born, I've walked into your room and whispered in your ear, I love you, I believe in you, and I'm proud of you. You are a man of God. My prayer is that as you step into the world tomorrow, you would know that your identity is in Christ and that you are a son of God. You have a mother and a father that loves you unconditionally, believes in you, and will always be proud of you. You were made on purpose for a purpose, Sebastian. Every day you are living that out with your joy, compassionate heart, and your desire for justice. Dream big, son, because you were made for great things. And here's the word of the Lord that I have for you and for us today. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Poppy. Do you remember when you sent your little one off to school for the very first time? That moment where you've spent all this time investing and loving, and all of a sudden you go, okay, I'm gonna send him out. And maybe you haven't experienced that yet, and you will. And it's an amazing moment, but like you, I needed hope in that moment to silence fear. I needed that hope, I needed that word that God would instill in me that at the end of the day, when I wasn't there, he had him. He was taken care of. God was with him. And that verse, that passage was so much for him as much as it was for me. It's become an anchor in our family. See, I don't know about you, but I know I've been through seasons where disappointment feels so big, it feels like there's no hope. And all of a sudden, it just feels like a constant motion to motion where it's work, sleep, eat, repeat. Or if we're being completely honest with ourselves, or I'm being honest with myself and completely buried myself to you, there have been moments where I've put my hope in an idea or in a job or position or a career, and it's left me discouraged, it's left me wanting more, and it's left me empty. See, what I've come to find through all these different seasons of life, now Sebastian at 14, about to step into high school, my son Jude, fifth grade, top of his elementary, what I've noticed through these seasons is what I hope for shapes what I live for. What I hope for shapes what I live for. And time again, and I know it's not just me, but I've put my hope in the wrong things. I've set myself to a specific thing and given my devotion self to it and realized that that was gonna come up empty. The good news is the Bible has a lot to say about where we can put our hope. So today, we're gonna look into multiple passages of scripture. And I believe that what God is gonna do is help us all see that we can shape our lives in his hope. So let me paint a scene real quick before we put that passage up. We're in a time where the people of Judah have been conquered by Babylon. Jerusalem was destroyed and many Israelites have been taken into exile. They are devastated, not just in the physical reality that they've been taken on, but spiritually. This shook their understanding of what God's promise was and his presence. Have you ever felt shaken by your circumstance? Have you ever felt that there's such a craziness that's happening? Something hits you so hard that your understanding spiritually, not just physically, but spiritually, it was shaken, and you all of a sudden didn't understand what the reality was of God's promise and who he was. But through the prophet Isaiah, God had a message. And he said this in Isaiah 41. But as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descended from Abraham, my friend, I have called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant, for I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And depending on the gravity of your circumstance, what tends to happen when life shakes you, we read this passage, and all of a sudden, we should be highlighting the moment that says, my servant. We should be able to see that in that space, we're not seeing that God has destined for us to do great things for him, but we're seeing that we have no purpose, that we have a lack of fulfillment. We read my chosen one, but we see that we are forgotten and that we're not good enough. We read that he calls us his friend, but for some reason, because of what we're experiencing, we feel alone, we feel unseen, we feel unheard and not valued. See, our visions and our feelings, they alter so much of our reality, so much of the hope that we have. And a lot of times, like me, if you're anything like me, that circumstance shakes us. And no matter the passage, no matter the song, no matter the environment, I get shifted and I get caught up in, I have no purpose, or I'm not fulfilled. I set out to actually have this job or this thing, and I'm not feeling fulfilled. I feel like I'm supposed to be in community. I'm in church. I didn't grow up in church, but now I'm a part of a family of believers. I moved nearby, and all of a sudden, I feel alone, and I feel unheard. I feel unseen. I don't feel valued. Or maybe that moment in that quiet time that you have with Jesus, where you should be in a space where you go, man, he's calling me his friend. He sent Jesus for this moment. He sent and he broke everything so that I may have a friendship with him. But I'm not feeling that. I feel alone. I feel like I'm not good enough. I feel like I'm forgotten. See, circumstances and situations have this crazy ability to shake us. And in Proverbs, Solomon said this, Proverbs 13:12. He said, hope deferred, put off or postponed, makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Has your heart ever felt sick? Take a moment, just take a breather. You don't have to answer out loud. Just no one's next to you. Has your heart ever felt sick because of where you put your hope? See, society has taught us that when we feel sick in the natural, in the physical, we treat our symptoms. We medicate. We don't get to the root of the problem. We don't pause. We feel something, therefore we react with how we can fix that. And we don't think of what it'll do in the long term. We don't think of what will happen or the side effects that come of it. And we're not treating our heart spiritually that leads us to health. And this is a word that I felt like God was putting specifically on me. And I was like, God, if I share this, I feel like it's going to come across in such a way where I'm like condemning or making people feel like they're wrong. And so, no. What I'm trying to communicate and what I feel like God was trying to say in and through me is that there's grace. That even though time and time again, we may put our hope and things outside of him and his promises, he's calling us back in. He's calling us into freedom. He's calling us into a space where we can have his desires, where all of a sudden we reorient our hearts. He can bring us back into a space where we are whole, we are healthy, and we are in love. So there was a time where, like I said before, I didn't grow up in church. All of my hope was in becoming a professional soccer player like my dad, who's in the building, by the way, with my amazing mom. And growing up, that was my devotion. That was my life. That was everything that I put my hope and dreams into. I got the ability to see my dad do it. I got the ability to move to South America. And for 4 years, I got to spend time in an institution that was built around forming and creating future professional soccer players. What's crazy is that when I turned 17, there was a situation that happened, circumstances happened. My dad lost his job in South America. We had to move back to the United States. And I was devastated. And he worked his tail off to travel back to get a job here to there. But I felt and believed the lie that for those 4 years that I invested in my life, that right when I was 17, about to turn 18, that my potential and my future to be a professional soccer player was no longer an option. I'd moved back to the States, and even though I had a chance to go to college and jump into a scholarship, I didn't want to go into that. I wanted to go and play pro. That was the dream. That's where all my hope was. That's where all my devotion was. But when disappointment hit and the reality of the situation, and I wasn't able to fulfill that dream, the problem there was I had nothing left. You see, that's where scripture becomes a reality. My hope was postponed. It was put off, and it made my heart sick. But what I didn't realize back then, because I didn't know the Lord, is that my hope was set in the wrong thing. My hope was set in a career and something I needed to do. See, I wasn't made for soccer. Soccer was made for me to enjoy. Yeah. I wasn't made to preach or communicate. Communication and preaching was made for me to be able to express what God is doing in and through my life. Does that make sense? So for me in that space, I got so caught up and so wrapped up because I had nothing. It all went out from underneath me. So I went through 4 years to where I stuck into drugs and alcohol. My hope, realization was my hope was such an idol, such a devotion, such a strength outside of what anything I knew that I didn't know what to do with all these feelings and emotions. I didn't know what to do with the despair, the discouragement of what I had. I honestly felt like I had nothing. And my parents loved me regardless. And what's crazy is that in 2004, in the basement of my parents' home, living with a friend that was hanging out, that had moved from South America, I remember that night where I fell back into drugs and addiction. And he looked at me and he said, "Hey, you need God." And I go, "You're crazy. I don't even know what you're talking about." And that night, when I walked into my room, I remember reaching back for my remote to turn on my TV. Years before, my mom had given me a small little thin line NIV Bible. And I grabbed it and I looked at it and I go, "Okay, God, if you're real, show me. Show me that there's a different way. Show me that I can, that there's hope for anything." And he took me to Matthew 13, which is the parable of the sower. I started to read and I got to the parable of the weeds and all of a sudden you have my attention. And what I know now is the Holy Spirit is he was able to show me that I'm gonna let you do whatever you wanna do on this earth. You can go about, it's gonna look like wheat and weeds, but there's gonna come a time where it's harvest season, where it's time that there's gonna be a distinguishment between the two. And he goes, "And you can be the wheat." And there was an invitation. And from that moment on, he delivered me from addiction. And it shifted everything. And all of a sudden, I wanted to know who this God was that spoke to me. And like a great Christian with no direction, I did what any good young man would do. I opened up the Bible that had spoken to me and just picked another random, another area that I should read. And guess what I landed on? Isaiah. Talk about a great book to begin your journey, yeah? But he took me through a process, and what I was able to learn through the prophet Isaiah in that time, even though I learned so many things that I had no idea about, pre-Googling a bunch of things, but being able to step into a space where all of a sudden I began to see what the Holy Spirit was doing. Through the prophet Isaiah, he was declaring that Jesus was coming, and he was coming into my life. And in a beautiful moment in 2004, I was able to completely surrender my life, completely surrender my heart and my hope into what and who Jesus is, and thus began my journey. Though I'm free from addiction, though God has shown me who he is, though I've seen my leg literally grow in front of me and no longer have lower back problems, yet I still forget. Yet I still forget to put my full hope in him and his promises. So what I want to do today is I want to get out of the way and I want to invite the worship team back up. And I want to give room and opportunity for us to invite the Holy Spirit into our space right now. And I want you to ask these two questions. Holy Spirit, help me see where my hope has been. Help me see where my hope has been. And the second question I want you to ask, Holy Spirit, show me you and your promise for this season I'm in. Maybe you're in the space where your son or daughter is about to start school. Maybe you've been let go of a job and you're trying to figure out what's next. Maybe there's been a diagnosis in your family. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Whatever your season is, I believe with all my heart that God wants to meet you right there. And your hope is not in your circumstance. Your hope is not in the situation. Your hope is not even on you. But I believe today the Holy Spirit wants to show you that your hope can be found in Him, and He has a specific promise for you today. So, Father, as we enter into this time of worship, God, I pray that you would remove distractions. You would help us to be able to fully understand the circumstance and the season that we're in. Holy Spirit, reveal to us where hope has been. Because we've been living for the wrong things. God, we forget. Would you help us today remember why we can trust in you and in your promises? In Jesus' name, amen.
I've been strong and I've been broken within a moment. I've been faithful and I've been reckless at every bit. I've held everything together and watched it shatter. I've stood tall and I've crumbled in the same. I have wrestled and I have trembled toward surrender. Chased my heart adrift and drifted home again. Plundered blessing till I've been desperate to find redemption. And every time I turn around, Lord, you're still there. Before I was lost, I was yours. Before I was not, your grace to spare for my mistakes, and that part just wrecks me. And I know I don't deserve this kind of love, but somehow this kind of love is who you are. It's a grace I could never add to be somebody you still want, but somehow you love me as you find. My praises, but if this borrowed breath is yours, Lord, take heed. You are faithful and you are gracious, and I'm just grateful that the don't need a single thing, still you want my heart. And I was found before I was lost. I was yours before I was none. You wear the scars of all my mistakes. That part just wrecks me. And I don't deserve this kind of love, but somehow this kind of love is who you are. It's a grace I can never add up to be somebody you still want. But somehow you love me as you find. Somebody you still want, but somehow you love me as you find.
Stand to your feet real quick. As I was praying for today, I felt like that a lot of us in this space are paralyzed by the fear. We're stuck, and we're not able to move forward. And some of us are so discouraged because of the hurt that we've experienced and the wounding that we've had, that time and time again, we were able to see where we thought we were going, and that hope was deferred. So today, we have a God that's trying to tell us we don't have to be afraid anymore. That your discouragement and your wounding, He wants to heal. You can let it go. And with every head bowed and every eye closed in this space, mainly for privacy and concentration, there's no one next to you. It's you and the Holy Spirit. Maybe today your first step is going, Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. Jesus, I give my life to you. I'm tired of putting my hope in all of these things. I'm tired of feeling paralyzed because of fear. Today, I put my hope in you. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you in this space, and you're saying that today is that day that you're surrendering, just raise your hand. Just to acknowledge, it's not for me, acknowledging to the Lord and say, hey, today I'm saying, Jesus, you're it. That's beautiful. You can put your hand down. Look up at me. I don't know your current circumstance. I don't know what you're going through. But I have this sense in my gut that when Wednesday and Thursday hit, and we're not in this experience, and we're not gathered with like-minded believers, that fear is paralyzing us. The discouragement comes back and it creeps up. And today I want to declare and say, and I want you to take it with you. Fear and discouragement have no power. They have no space in your life, and they no longer have to shape your life. You see, what's beautiful in Isaiah is it says, and what I told my son, and we literally look at every single day as we walk down the stairs, and I look at it and I read it. Don't be afraid. Why? Because he says, I am with you. Don't be discouraged because of the job or the thing that you didn't get or the hope where you was deferred, because I am your God. Not the career, not the thing, not whatever the idea we have placed in that space. He says, I am your God. And what's beautiful, he doesn't leave us there. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. You see, today, what I believe God is wanting to do, he wants to pull the passion back out of you. He wants to pull that moment when you first encountered him and everything shifted. Let's not lose that space. Can we today declare, I'm in, I'm yours. Whatever it is, I'm in. I'm no longer deferring my hope. I'm no longer putting my hope in this. I'm no longer putting my hope in that. But I'm declaring that you and you alone, Jesus, is everything I need. So, Father, today I pray that you would come and that you would shift. You would begin to shake us from the inside. And, God, that today we would not leave without pulling our full trust and every part of our single being in you. God, that you and you alone would stir in our hearts. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. And let us not leave this place until we have done business with the Holy Spirit. God, bring us peace, bring us strength. Show us how we can put our hope in you. In Jesus' name.